All right, so we are, we're going to start today on Tanya on page 114, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Well, let's just recap what we learned last week. Okay, so at the beginning of Perek Mem Aleph, well, Tanya introduced the concept that love and awe, love and fear as it's popularly translated, are Tren Gadfin, the two wings, and that mitzvahs require that these emotions be part of the performance of the mitzvah in order for the mitzvah to be able to ascend heavenward. And he spoke about really defining the fact that despite the fact that when a person does a mitzvah, that they're able to, in a wondrous way, connect back with their source, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which would be the definition of love, that nonetheless, what's also required is a concept called Kabbalas Oil. Kabbalas Oil means that a person recognizes that I have to do this. Obviously, the simple, practical application of these kinds of things are going to be that I once heard from somebody, I'm sure it never happens to any of us, but I once heard from somebody that there are times that people are not in the mood necessarily to do certain mitzvahs. I'm not feeling particularly connected, or I'm not feeling particularly inspired. So it would be possible that if a person wasn't in the mood, they would say, look, I lack ahava right now, so I'm not going to do it. Therefore, what's required is a concept called Kabbalas Oil, meaning that the person accepts upon themselves that this is not subject to my moods and my whims and my wants and my desires and my yearning, but like an Eved is obligated to serve their master, I have, that's why it's called Avoid, because you got to do it even when you're not in the mood, even when we're not particularly inspired. We then go back to a critical concept which is repeated again and again throughout the Sefer, and that is that neither awe nor love are subject to necessarily the emotional love and awe. Because if it was, we would all be bankrupt. None of us would have a chance. But that there is an inborn love and awe which is part and parcel of every Jew's being, and a result of that is that there is something called the Ahava Tivis. There's a natural love that each of us have. He discussed earlier how that comes out in a time of slaughter, that when Jews are going to be forced to convert, that it comes out. But the bottom line is that as long as intellectually we're willing to give it a moment's thought, the fact that I should be loving, I should be inspired with awe, that is considered already by the Ribbono Shel Olam as emotional ahava and yira. Okay? That's where we got up to last week. And now, he takes it a step further, which would give really a shtickle glimpse. It's going to get deeper later on in Tanya, but the concept of how all Jews are connected. You've got a sefer right there, page 114. Ach amnam, right by the period where we're like 10 lines down. Ach amnam amru chazal. The Gemara in Brachos says, lo'ilam al yoytzi odam atzmei min haklal. A person cannot remove themselves from the group. So therefore, he wants to go ahead and apply this to the performance of every mitzvah. That every time we interact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we have no right to remove ourselves from the group. Now, part of this would be the Ksav Sofer that we spoke about in Parshas Kedoshim, that a person does not have the right to do something which is going to inspire them and move them heavenward if it's going to affect somebody else negatively. You can't raise yourself in Ruchnias by stepping down and by stepping on somebody else. But he's going to give us a deeper insight into that. L'chein, therefore, Yischavein, a person should have in mind when we serve Hashem, liyached uledav geboy yizborach, to cleave and to unify with Him. This word is going to become a critical word, yichud. Okay? And you're going to have to restrain yourself with all your Kabbalistic stuff, because this concept of yichud, the yichud Hashemus, and yichud of all kinds of things is going to occupy center stage now. So, to cleave to Hashem, mikar nafshar elikis, the root of his godly soul, o mikar nafshis kol Yisrael. Meaning, when I'm doing my mitzvah now, it's inadequate for me just to think about myself. I now am called upon to have in mind not only for myself to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to connect the source of all the nishfashas of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? L'chein Shehu Ruach Piv Yisbarach. Now, here we go. What are we talking about here? He says, we're going to define some terms. Ruach Piv Yisbarach, the vapor, Kaviyochal of Hashem, Hanikr B'Shem Shechina. Okay, terminology number one, the term Shechina. Now, very often we use it interchangeably with Hashem, right? The Shechina, the pain of the Shechina, and so on. He's going to define it here as follows.
What does vapor mean?
Vapor is the...
mist.
The mist that comes out of one's mouth. Why is this called Shechina? He says, Al Shem Sheshoichenes Umislabeshes Toich Kol Almin. The word of Hashem is called the Shechina. Okay, so it is separated from Hashem as one's own vapor that of the spoken word. And the reason this works is because we know that the Rebbeinu Shlom created the world with his speech. And therefore, what is the reality of the world is the speech of Hashem. So that speech is enclosed, is embodied in the entirety of everything that exists. L'achyos and l'kama, to give them their existence. V'hihi hamashpez boi koyach hadibur hazeh shemedaber b'divrei Torah. It is the very source that allows the person to speak when the person utters a word of Torah. That's the reality. What's giving me the ability to speak words of Torah? It's only the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is suffusing me right now with his word that gives me my existence so that I can go ahead and speak the word of Hashem, right? Or not just in the words of Torah. What allows me to wrap my tefillin around my arm? To do this mitzvah. So now, when I go ahead and I ponder the fact that which is giving me the energy to do the will of Hashem, namely the Shechina, the godliness that's sustaining me right now. And what am I doing with that? I'm taking that energy that's giving me my existence now, and I'm reconnecting it with Hashem. How am I doing that? By fulfilling his desire through the study of Torah, through the performance of a mitzvah. So I'm taking my existence, which is right now being sustained by the Shechina. I am a embodiment, right? You find thereby, it says by Vasuli Migdash Vishachanti Besoicham. That's where we have that term, Vishachanti Besoicham. I will dwell in their midst. Right? Hashem dwells in our midst as people. And when we go ahead and we use the will of Hashem, we use the energy which sustains us to do the will of Hashem, we are now reconnecting what was once separated from Hashem. Namely, the energy that he threw out into the world to give it its existence. That right now is scurrying all over the world, all over the planet, doing all kinds of things separated from Hashem's will. And now we go ahead and we say, hey, stop, world, hold it. I am now going to use that energy to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am now reunifying back Hashem's energy that he sent forth, he propelled into the world. I am reconnecting it back with Hashem every time I do his will. Look at it inside. This unification that's taking place takes place through drawing into the world the Ar of Hashem, by toiling in Torah, by toiling in mitzvahs, shehu malubash behen, which is enclosed, embodied in them, v'yischaving, and the person should have in mind, lahamshich oira yizbarach, to draw Hashem's energy al mekar nafshoi, on the root of my soul. And here's where he gets to the next point, v'nafshoi's kol Yisrael. What does he say? The point is like this. Where do other neshamas come into the picture? Because the minute we connect back to that source of emanation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains the Shechina, that's the source of all Jewish souls. That concept of Shechina is the root of all Jewish neshamas.
But if all Jewish neshamas connect, then therefore you're not connected.
So if, or the word is like this, clearly all Jewish neshamas are not actively involved right now in fulfilling the mitzvahs of Hashem.
But they're all connected.
But due to the fact that they all emanate from that spot, the minute that a person is able to connect to the Ratzon Hashem, he's able to uplift with him that, and since it's all one emanation, he's able to uplift them all.
But then that, before you say that, then therefore, even a person doesn't connect to the Torah, then he's connected anyway, so therefore, it's kind of counterintuitive what you just said.
Well, so you're asking, if that's the case, I don't have to do it, as long as one person is doing it.
If you're saying connected, then I'm connected.
Right, so there's connection and there's connection.
Right.
There's being a driver and there's being a passenger.
Oh, okay, I understand that. I'm saying, it seems that
you're
being
a passenger.
And Hanami. No, but here he does an incredible thing. He's going to explain something which
you're
is so. Well, again, there's kares, right? There is a concept of kares where a person can cut themselves off.
But even then, they're never completely disconnected. They can turn
in
back.
Every Lashem Yichud. Yes, they can reconnect. Here's look at it. You have two concepts that we say all the time in every Lashem Yichud before we do a mitzvah. So you say the Shem Yichud for the sake of the unification of Kud Shebrichu of Hashem Ushchintei and Ushchina, and then we add three words. B'Shem Kol Yisrael. In the name of all of Kol Yisrael. According to the Arizal, so everything you do, you're supposed to do B'Shem Kol Yisrael. But, so it seems like these are two separate concepts. There's the Shem Yichud. There's a concept of unifying Hashem and Ushchina, reunification of Hashem and His world. And then, there's another good thing to do, and that is that I'm doing mitzvahs b'shem kol yisrael. Comes up Altani here and says, no, this isn't, these are not two concepts. Look what he says. Right before the indentation here. V'zeu pirish, this is the explanation of l'shem yichud kutshu b'richu shchintei. We're doing this for the sake of unifying Hashem and His Shechina. B'shem kol yisrael, in the name of kol yisrael. Now, so what is he saying? He's saying that therefore these are not two separate concepts. The moment we unify Hashem and His Shechina, we are already able to do it, B'Shem Kol Yisrael, because that is the greatest manifestation of Hashem's presence in this world, is Klal Yisrael, B'Shem Kol Yisrael.
So you can look at both ways. You can either say, I'm doing this not for the baby, I'm doing it for the
That is correct.
Because I'm doing it for the Eibishter, and so by happenstance, they connect everyone else.
They write, the Sefer Kodesh write, if you want to test as to how much a Jew really loves the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, look at his Ahavas Yisrael. If a guy is so busy with his service that he's got no time for anybody else, you should question his Ahavas Hashem. Okay, first of the narrow lines here. So he says, come on, let's get real. Even though that a person should really do anything for this reason, that our hearts should really want, we're really interested in this sublime concept of this lofty idea of unification above. That requires Jews whose hearts are full of passion of love for Hashem, levad, elas es nachas ruach lefan of levad. What's more, that would really require a Jew whose entire and exclusive interest is only for the sake of pleasing God. V'lo l'ravis nafshei atzmei el Hashem. Not even to satisfy one's own thirst and yearning for God. Halavai, we should do things to satisfy our yearning and thirst for God. He's saying here, but that wouldn't be adequate. To be miyached. To be miyached requires a person who's not thinking at all about themselves. All they think about is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ele kibro, what's required? He quotes the language of the Zohar. Kibro, dishtal basar avoy v'ime. Like a child who's constantly following after his father and mother. Derachim loin yoysim migarmei v'nafshe. Because he loves them more than he loves himself. He'll do anything for his parents because he loves them more than he would do it for himself. That's the ideal servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the Sefer Kodesh, or one of the Tzaddikim once said, that even if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam would tell me that I would get Gehenim for doing mitzvahs, and I'd get Gan Eden for doing Averis, I would still do the mitzvahs, because that's what Hashem wants me to do. So it's not about the reward, right? Mikol Mokim.
He wouldn't do that.
That's what he says. I mean, he says that afterwards. It's on one of those tapes that you listen to. Mikol Makom, right after the brackets. I just wanted to take a look at that Haggah for a second. It brings a very interesting concept here that we talked about over Pesach, about Hamtakas Hadinim, about fusion of Chesed and Din. And he says that this concept of L'Shem Yichud will also in turn create a tempering of harsh judgment. Alright, so let's go back now to the first of the wide lines on Daf Nun Ches. Mikol Makom, despite the fact that this requires such lofty, sublime thoughts, then, and it is so beyond us, so why bother? Says the Balatani. No, sorry guys. Yesh l'chol odom lahargil atzme b'kavonazu, every person, you and I, even you and I, should get into the habit of this kavona, of this intent, because even if it's not true in the fullness of our hearts, that we should really, really desire this with our whole heart, nonetheless, a little bit, we do want it. We want it a little bit. Why? Going back. Because Jews love God. Because Jews want to do what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants. And this reunification of Hashem and His world, and His Shekhinah, that is God's true desire. This is the highest unification of the highest of the worlds. Hanase b'sarusa de the sata, we must recognize that we are causing it. We pick up a physical piece of leather and we wrap it around our arms, and we are creating this wild, sublime unification in the highest of worlds. Either yichud nefesh or the kiss, by the unifying of the godly soul, v'yiskalalusa ba'ar Hashem, when we take this godly soul that's in galus in our physical bodies, and we reunify it, even momentarily, by reintroducing it to the will of Hashem, which is bonding the neshama with its source, ha'malubish b'teirah mitzvahs, because that is absolute godliness, that which is contained in Torah and mitzvahs, shayisekes mem, that it's even temporarily doing, v'hayu l'achodim mamish, at that moment, our soul becomes one, becomes absolute one with the giver of the Torah, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, k'meshe k'savti le'el, like we wrote earlier. Ki ayidei zeh misyachtim gam kem mikor ha-Torah v'mitzvahs. When our bodies with our neshamas perform a mitzvah, study Torah, we are unifying with the source of Torah mitzvah, Shua HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Almighty Himself, im mikor nafshar, the kiss with the source of my godly soul, hanikr b'shem Shechina. That's the concept of Shechina. Shem b'pchinas memali kolam, and b'pchinas soivav kolam, and k'meshu k'savti b'makamach ha-marichos. He throws a curveball in here with these concepts that in his other swarm he's absolutely obsessed with the memali kolam and soivav kolam. But this unification itself is also the concept of the unity of these two forms of godly energy.
So Shekhinah basically just connects the Klai Yisrael together, not the world in general.
The Shekhinah in this context
is just connecting Yidden.
Is also connecting Yidden.
I'm saying that's what he's trying to say. Not right. Now there is the world, so even if the world is terrible outside, if we connect,
correct. Correct. Now, obviously, there are different manifestations of Shekhinah in the world. Right when the Bais HaMikdash is here, then there's an open manifestation of Shekhinah in the world. Then it's not just in Nishmas Yisrael. But right now, that's the best we got. Aval yichud nafshay. But this unity of a person's neshama, v'yiskalalusa ba'ar Hashem, to become one with Hashem's energy, the yois lachodim, to become unified, b'zeh chofetz kol adam miYisrael. This is the true desire of every single Jew. Be'emes la'amito, in absolute truth, ligamri b'chol lev v'chol nefesh, with the entirety of our heart, with the entirety of our soul, mi'ahava tivius, from the natural love, Hamasuteres b'leiv kol yisrael, it's concealed in the heart of every Jew. L'davka b'Hashem, to cleave to Hashem. V'lo lipared, and not to be separated. V'lias nichris v'nivdol chas v'shalom. The absolute antithesis of our desire is to be cut off, separated from Hashem. Yechud v'achdus yisbach v'shom ha'ifin. Afilu b'mesiris nefesh mamish. To the point where a Jew will go to their death rather than become separated from Hashem. Now, generally, that terminology of Mesiras Nefesh is used in death, right? A person will die rather than to become cut off. Comes Baltanya and says, I want you to understand that the opportunity for Mesiras Nefesh exists all the time. We're 2, 4, 6 lines off the bottom of the page here. Ve'esek ha'toyru u'mitzvus ve'hatzvila. He says, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that toiling in the study of Torah and the performance of mitzvahs and davening, hu gam ken inyan mesiras nefesh mamish. I want you to understand that the concept of mesiras nefesh applies to every time a Jew connects with Hashem in doing His will. K'moy b'tzeisa min aguf b'mlois shivim shana. Just like when the neshama exits the body, when the 70 years are up, she'ena meharheres b'tzorchei aguf, that the neshama could care less about the checking account at that point when it exits the body. Ella, rather, machshavta miyuchedes umuloveshes ba'isiyas atoyiv atvila. What does a neshama do when it exits the body? It's entirely and completely busy just with the letters of Torah and Tvila, shen dvar Hashem, which is the word of Hashem, umachshavta yisbach and Hashem's thoughts, and v'hayulachadim mamish, and that becomes a complete and total unity, meaning the neshama, which is sublime godly stuff, is busy with sublime godly stuff. That's what it does. That's what a neshama is about. Shezeu esek ha-neshama is b'gan Eden. As we know, that's what neshama is doing in Eden. Kidisa b'gemara u'b'zoya, like the Gemara and the Zoya tells us that that's what neshamas are all about. Turn to 116. Ella. Shesham is angim ba'asagosim is kalusim ba'ar Hashem. The distinction between what goes on when the neshama leaves the body and when the neshama is in the body, is that when the neshama leaves the body, the neshama actually gets to enjoy serving God. It's fun. There's pleasure. It's tainug. There's a tremendous enjoyment when it's able to attain and understand to become one with Hashem. Whereas when it's in the body, it isn't so much fun. Here, we got to push ourselves to do it. Okay? Says the Baltanya, incredible thing. He says, this very concept of knowing that we really are our neshamas is driven home first thing in the morning. Look what he says. V'zeu shetiknu b'tchilos b'ruches ha-shachar k'idem ha-tfilo. For this reason, our sages established that in the beginning of the morning brachas, before we daven, we say, Elikai neshama shenasatibi, Hashem, this neshama that you put within me, Tayrit is pure, and then we say, you created it, and you blew it into me. V'at'osid litle memeni, you're going to take it away from me. Why are we talking about that? Why is that necessary?
Remind us.
Where does it come into the picture? Look at what he says. Kalayma, here's what we're saying. Me'acha sha'ata nefachta bi, since you blew it into me. V'at'osid litle memeni, you're going to take it away from me. So, where is the real me? Meaning, which is the temporary stage? My stage right now?
Well, you couldn't say it without the soul.
Or, true. But which one is the real me? Meaning, which is the temporary existence, which is the permanent existence? So he says, from the very fact that you put it into me, and you're going to take it away from me, I come to recognize that where it is right now is a temporary stage. So if that's the case, that it's really going to be with you permanently anyway, Even now, while it is inside of me, I want to make sure that it remains connected and given over to you. So that it can be unified with your unity, like the Pasuk says, like David HaMelech says, I want to give you my soul. I want my thoughts to be connected to your thoughts. V'diburai, and my speech, v'diburecho, my speech should be connected with your speech. V'oisiyas ha-Torah v'atvila, with the letters of Torah v'atvila, u'befrat ba'amira l'Hashem, the greatest expression of this concept, of this connection, is the fact that a Jew can be brazen enough to say, Baruch Atah. How does a physical body say Baruch Atah, were it not for the fact that it's my neshama who's speaking? Ukai gavna. Mine b'achona zu shel mesirus nafshei l'Hashem. When we begin our day with this concept, Rebbe Shlomo, I'm ready to give you my neshama. Yaschil b'chus hashachem. Now I can open up and begin my morning, begin my day with my brachas, Baruch Atah Hashem. V'chein, similarly, b'achon azu, with this very same preparation, yaschel lilmed shir kivua miyadach atvil, a person should immediately sit down to learn something following davening. V'chein be'em tayyayim, so too in the middle of the day. Kodim shiyaschel lilmed, before the person starts to learn Torah, tzricha achon azu, the person should have a momentary thought that that's what's taking place. What's happening here is a moment of unity between my neshama and its creator. K'noida, because we know, she'ikar achana lishma, that the main preparation to do a mitzvah for the correct reason, la'akev hu betchilas halimud bebeninim. It's not while we're learning, because while we're learning, if we're thinking about godliness and all that spooky stuff, it's going to distract us from our learning. For a beinani, it's to have that in mind before we start learning. Ukamei beget, like the same law applies when a person gives a get, before you start writing the get, you say, I'm doing this, l'shem, this guy and this woman. The Sefer Torah, so too when a person writes a Sefer Torah, shetzrichim l'shma, la'akev, there it requires l'shma, v'dayah sheyem b'tchilas haksiv, and it's enough for the person to say at the beginning of the writing, hareni kaysev l'shem kedusha Sefer Torah, I'm writing it for the holiness of Sefer Torah, or l'shma l'shma, by a get, for his name, for her name. However, when a person learns Shoyes Harbid Ritzufa as many continuous hours, now the person should stop once an hour to think about reconnecting. Why every hour? Because each hour has its unique withdrawal from the celestial worlds, la'achis ha'tachtoinim, to keep the worlds going, v'amshachas ha'chiyus, she'vishah she'lefaneh ha'chizeres l'mkayra, the earlier hour returns to its source, v'soydo t'vishayim, she'vishayfi yitzira, imkol ha'toyra ma'asim tayim, v'shal ha'tachtoinim, each and every hour there is a elevation of all good deeds that were done, they're all taken up, ki'vishachol shal she'le tzira v'achar miyud beis tzira v'shayim ha'vayah baruchu, because each hour there is a new combination of Hashem's name. B'yud Beis Shoyes Hayom, Tziruf Hashem Adni B'layla, during the day it's the name of Hashem, at night it's the name of Adni. You know that when the Baltani was in jail, he was in jail twice, and they had him deep, deep underground. The Tsar came to see him. And despite the fact there were no windows, there was nothing, you know, there was the Baltani knew exactly what time it was. And the Tsar said to him, how's that possible? See, he told him this concept. He said to him, because every minute has a different tziruf, has a different combination, and those who are in touch know, you know, follow the tzirufim that are keeping time going. So, you know, his clock was more punctual than the Tsar's clock. Now, finally, V'inei kol kavanose, four lines from the bottom here, on 116. Kol kavanose b'mesiris nafshei l'Hashem, ayidei ha-Torah v'atvila. The person's true desire, the person's intent in his giving over his soul with Torah and Tefillah, lahalis nitzitza l'kusha b'toicha l'mekori, is to elevate the spark of godliness back to its source. Right? That's what we're saying. That's the concept of the Shechina. It's taking that which Hashem sustains the worlds, and to return it back home. Should be, rak de lasis nachas ruach lefonav yisborach, it should be for the purpose of to give pleasure to Hashem. K'mashal simchas hamelach, like we spoke about earlier in the earlier chapters, the joy of the king, b'vayelav b'nei yechideh, when his only son comes back to him, b'tzeisei min hashivya, when he's released from captivity, obeis ha'asurim k'nala, from prison. That's taking a spark of godliness that's been in this distant world and bringing it back to Hashem. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that this is only for holy exalted Jews, but rather this intent is true in absolute terms for every Jew, at every time and every hour, from the natural love that exists. It is part of our inheritance. Despite the fact that we have an inborn love that we rely upon in these cases, nonetheless, we're not to use it as an excuse, but a person must establish times to contemplate the greatness of Hashem, to create within our minds intellectual love and fear, because maybe, just maybe, we will be able to spark in a moment of emotional love and emotional awe. So despite the fact that we rely so often on the natural inborn love, we still have an obligation at least to try to generate the true emotional love and fear. All right, so I'm going to unmute here.